Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I'm not sure about you, but I have genuinely enjoyed the Spirit-led Life series. Yeah, I myself just unpacking the scriptures and even myself finding new revelation over and over again. 2 weeks ago, we completed our focus on the inward work of Holy Spirit. Last week, if you weren't here for Father's Day, I'm sorry you missed. It was amazing. It was amazing. But the inward work of the Holy Spirit took us to 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we found there that Holy Spirit continually transforms us into the image of Jesus. He transforms us into the image of Jesus. We need to ask the question, why does he transform us into the image of Jesus? Because he wants to form Jesus in me so Jesus can be seen through me. Okay? He wants to form Jesus in me so that the world out there can see Jesus through me. So today, we begin our final focus of our series. For the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking at the outward. So we've looked at the upward, the inward, and now we're going to look at the outward. How does what he does in us influence that around us? And the scripture we're going to endeavor, I say this very, very humbly, to unpack is 1 Corinthians 12. Why I say endeavor? Because there's so much to unpack. So much to unpack. But here in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul helps us understand how Holy Spirit works through his people. I think that's important. How does he work through his people? So the title of today's series message is Serving with the Spirit. Serving with the Spirit. All right? So Father, we thank you that we can be here. We thank you for your love and your peace. We thank you for what you've done in this house. Help us to get this message through without rushing it. Stop the time if need be. Help us to have a heart to receive what you want to say in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12 so long as I give you some context. Corinth was an incredibly gifted church. Incredibly gifted. If you go and read about it, Paul actually tells him in 1 Corinthians 1:7, you do not lack any spiritual gifts. I mean, how good, that's a good word for this place. That's a good word for East. You do not lack any spiritual gift. But there was a challenge. If you go and read it, there was a challenge. They were a divided church. There was comparison. There was competition, there was pride, there was jealousy. All this kind of stuff was happening. People were elevating some and discounting others. There was comparison, they were comparing themselves with each other. And when I read through all of that, I got to a point where I made the summary of giftedness is not the same as maturity. Giftedness is not the same as maturity. You can be gifted, but you still need Holy Spirit to work on your character. Yeah? And we've got to realize this. We can have all the gifts, but it's the character that brings us in alignment with God. Yeah? You can be gifted, but still need Holy Spirit to work on character. So now you can see, I hope, why it's important, why the inward work, which we dealt with for 3 weeks, matters before the outward. Inward is more important before the outward. It's got to come before the outward. He needs to work in me so he can work through me. Yes? Okay? We've got to behold Jesus, become like Jesus, and then serve like Jesus. This is what we've got to understand as the church. We've got to behold him to become like him so that we can serve like him. His compassion shapes how I see people. Yeah? His humility shapes how I serve people. His love shapes how I treat people. Does it make any sense? So I think we're getting the idea that Holy Spirit begins to work through us by giving to us so that we can serve others. Because if we serve others out of ourselves, we're serving out of the flesh. Am I allowed to say that? Yeah. And this is where Paul takes us in 1 Corinthians 12. Listen to the language. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Anything stand out for you? I gave you cheat notes. Different, 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 correct? But look at what keeps be repeating alongside it. Same, same, same. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. It's different, but it's same. Now, we think unity means everybody has to look the same and do the same. But here, Paul clearly shows us this is not the case in the kingdom. There's different gifts, there's different ways of serving, and different ways God works through each individual. But through the different, there's one constant. His name is God. Through the different, there's one constant. The same Spirit, same Lord, same God. So our unity is not found in all being the same, doing the same. Listen to this. Unity is the same God working through all of us in different ways. I wrote it out that way, especially. The same God working, comma, through all of us, comma, in different ways. Chew on that. Blows my mind. Our unity is found in the same God at work in all of us. Is there unity here? I would say yes. We're not all doing the same thing, are we? But God is at work right here amongst us at different levels. Unity is the same God working. He doesn't differ. He's the constant through all of us in different ways. So if when we look at carefully at verse 7, we see now to each one the manifestation of the gift is given. Hold on, sorry, I think I read that wrong. To each one of the pastors, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Oh, sorry. To each one of the worship team, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Sorry, wrong. To each one we think who is very super spiritual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. No. The Scripture says to each one, which includes you. And notice what is given. The manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation carries the idea of something being made visible. Let me interpret that. The Holy Spirit, who is invisible, makes His work visible. How? Through each one of God's people. You and I. Manifestation. Manifestation of the Spirit is given. Sounds like it could become a bit chaotic, right? I mean, everybody, every single person has the manifestation of the Spirit. It sounds like it can really be chaos. How do these different people with different gifts and different contributions all fit together? Paul gives us a picture, a body. Take note, God is not creating a clone. He's creating a body. And in verse 12, it says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Verse 14 says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Anything standing out? Cheat notes? Yep. So Paul's point is simple. One body, many different parts. One body, many different parts. Then he has a bit of fun or a dig. I don't know. I couldn't fathom it out. But he imagines that the foot looking at the hand and saying in verse 15, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. In other words, I'm not like you. I can't do what you do, therefore I don't matter. I think that hits home. I think Paul's illustration hits a nerve because that's exactly the same thing we do. We look at somebody else's gift, somebody else's ability, somebody else's opportunity, and we say, well, I'm not actually like you. I could never do that. Yeah, no, I could never do that. And then eventually that becomes, I've nothing to offer. Church, hear me today. Comparison can blind you to the grace God has put in you. We've got to stop comparing. Because while you're wishing you were a hand, God maybe made you a foot. Reality is the body needs both. The body needs both. Comparison is from hell. It's not a God thing. Look at verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Whatever. I wrote it out this way. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Where you find yourself is where he wants you to be. Stop comparing. Where you find yourself is where he has placed you, just as he wanted them to be. There is intentionality in the body of Christ. God is an intentional God. And this is what Paul is saying. That's the church. Not the building, the people. That's the church. That's the body. Some gifts are visible. Other gifts are hidden. Some happen on a platform. Others happen at the school or in the car park or in the uni or in the foyer or in the hospital or over coffee, over a meal. But every part is necessary. I need us to understand today, church, visibility does not determine value. Visibility does not determine value. You cannot see my heart, but without my heart, I would not be standing in front of you. Visibility does not determine value. Just because a part is seen doesn't make it more important than the part nobody sees. Different doesn't mean less important. I have two big toes. I think everybody has two big toes. But I have a pretty big toe and an ugly big toe. Thanks, Paulina. I'll talk to this side because she's sitting on that side. Let me explain. Because everyone's like, what does he mean? You see, I have a toenail on this big toe, but I don't have a toenail on this big toe. Because of an ingrown toenail when I was in the police force in South Africa. So they removed the whole toenail. Now, we had little kids. The big kids were little kids. And I would be sitting on my lazy boy recliner with my feet up. And I'd be dozing off after a Sunday. And the kids would be clamoring around. And, you know, Jay was just starting to crawl. And he pulled himself up. And what do kids normally do at that age? They put things in their mouths, yeah? So you have a toe sticking up with no toenail. And what does he do? He's got two little front toothies. Wabba. Do you think I was still sitting? No. I was standing right next to him. I was about to, let's just move on from that point of view. All I want to say, even toenails are important. He's not here, but You know, you wonder why he's so big? Maybe it's the toe juice. You never know. All right, moving on. You understand what I'm trying to say? Every part of the body plays an important role. Even to this day, if somebody stands on, I won't tell you which toe, it does make a difference. Because there's no toenail. A toenail plays an important role. Now, there's another side to this coin, coming back to what Paul addresses in verse 21. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In other words, I can't say, I don't matter, and I can't say, you don't matter. You see, Paul rejects both. Because in the body, I need you, and you need me, constantly. The person preaching needs the person praying. The person on the platform needs the person in the car park. I was in the car park. I gave you waves and kisses as you drove by. Yes. The person leading worship needs the person welcoming. The car park person needs the coffee cart person, especially on a cold winter Melbourne day. We all need one another. Different does not mean less important. And I want to say this as well. In the body of Christ, there is no such word as just. Every part matters. Oh, I'm just on the welcome team. No. You are a chaotic organizer. You take chaos and you organize. You help people find their seats. You're a problem solver. There's no buckets. Where are the buckets? Come on, bring the buckets. Let's take up the tithes and offering. Where's communion? Everybody hasn't got communion. You are a problem solver. I'm just in the car park. No. You're saving marriages. Who knows? Statistics say the biggest arguments happen in car parks. Honey, there was a car park, but I didn't want to park there. I want to park there. But why didn't you park there? Because I didn't want to park there. You save marriages in the car park. I'm just making coffee. No, you're not. You're keeping JJ sane. And you're keeping everybody else awake while they listen to JJ. You get what I'm saying? Can we please remove the word just from our vocab as the church? Your role is in the body. So let's go back to verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Why? Here it comes. For the common good. Are you seeing the progression? Next slide, please, Eileen. This is your progression. How does the Spirit give? Differently. Well, who does the Spirit give to? Each one. Why does the Spirit give? Common good. Common good. How, who, why? You belong, you matter, and you have something to contribute. You see, the gift may be in you, but it is for the common good. It's for the common good. So now the question becomes, Holy Spirit, who can I strengthen today? Who can I encourage today? Who can I pray for today? Who can I serve today? Who can I build up today? Who can I bless today? Who can I? That should be the prayer on every believer's lips every day. I'm not just talking about Sundays. I'm talking Monday to Sundays. Now, can you imagine? Let's bring it home. Let's bring it here. Can you imagine the whole East family when they carry that posture? Can you imagine Newman Richmond, when Newman Richmond carries that posture? Can you imagine when the Catholic Church carries that posture? Can you imagine when the believers, the church, carries that posture? Holy Spirit, how do you want to use me today? Not just what am I going to receive? Oh, well, JJ was so boring today. Oh, did you hear he spoke about toe juice? Seriously? You see, that right there changes how the church, capital T, how the church functions. That right there changes how the church functions. A church was never designed to be a few people ministering to everybody else. It was never. Go and look at Acts. Paul has just shown us the church is a body which includes each one of you sitting here today. Different people, different contributors, empowered by the same Spirit for what? For the common good. And folks, this is the outward life. We are called to live the outward life. We are called to have a life that goes beyond us. An outward life doesn't say, stay inside the four walls on a Sunday. And by the way, these four walls are not the church. You are the church. The outward life carries Jesus where? I behold, I become, I serve. Where? Where do I serve? I serve in the schools. I serve in the age facilities. I serve in universities. I serve in neighborhoods, communities. I serve in church gatherings. I serve wherever I go. Who am I serving? Him. I'm serving Him. We advance His kingdom. We make Him known. We make Jesus known. And folks, that's why we're here. I said this to somebody else this week. Why are we on the planet Earth? To build our own kingdoms? No. Go and read Genesis. We are here to advance His kingdom. That's the ultimate goal that He has for us. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them. Why? Advance His kingdom. Remember our prayer? Our prayer series? Abba, Father, Your kingdom come. First thing that we pray. Your will be done. Second thing we pray. Why? Because that's what we're meant to be doing. We're meant to be bringing heaven to earth and advancing His kingdom. But I don't know, JJ. I'm shy. I've been rejected. I've been, you know, let's go down those paths, yeah? We all have. But here's the thing. The thing is, outward can start here. Outward can start right here in this place. This is a safe place. This is a safe place. There are people right here amongst you you can serve. There's people right here that you can give an encouraging word to. There's people right here that you can love. There's people right here that you can show compassion. There's people right here in this place every Sunday. Now, I'm speaking to the East family, which is all of you. If this is our home, we all have a responsibility to help build the house. Not only financially, but build a house. How do we build a house? We build people. We're not about building big churches. We're about building big people. Big people. People who walk in their calling that God has brought them for. We're here to care for family. I said this to Pastor Russ. This week, I said, you know what, Russ? I said, it saddens me to think. We have people walking in the doors, but we also have people that walk out of these doors without anybody saying good morning to them. It saddens me. It saddens me. Sundays don't just happen. It takes the church who pray. Takes the church who park cars, the church who welcome, the church who make coffee, usher, set up, create spaces like this team did today where we can just go, this is not the pre-show to this show. This sets us up for this. This sets us up for what happened here today. This sets us up. That's why this is important. Every act of service, in front of or behind the scenes, makes His grace available for the common good. And I just want to honor, I really want to honor I want to honor everybody in this place that has faithfully carried this house. Some of you have been pulling this cart for many years. Cinema days, EDSC days, now here, Joseph Street days. This testimony of Levi is the result, is the fruit of your serving. You know, we've had people walk through these doors that have not been in church for years because of church hurt. One weekend, two people. One was 6 years, the other person was 10 years, hadn't been in church. Walked in here, felt loved, felt appreciated. Walked out, said, wow, that was amazing. Thursday night, I'm in the city, and I have this lady come up to me. She stops me, I'm outside, greeting people, and she says, I've just got to tell you. And maybe he's sitting here, maybe he's second service. He says, we met this young Indian man, and he was struggling to find a job similar to Levi. He was working apparently three jobs to try and make a living. He walked into he was recommended to come here. He's got a bit of a Catholic background, but never been in you know, happy clappers like us. He walks in, he walks out, and he lets these people know, I was welcomed. I was loved, and I experienced something. I encountered something today. Not experienced. I encountered something today that I haven't encountered before. Last week, we had three people. Father's Day. Three people that had never put their foot in a church building ever before in this place. Three. Something is happening. Something is happening, church. You know what? And we praying them in. You know, I listen to these team. We praying them in, and we're going, God, send them. God, this is a haven. God, this is a safe place. God, bring them in. But you know what? We need to be ready to serve them. We need to be ready to serve them. And this is not simply about filling a roster. No. This is an invitation to take your place in the body. It's an invitation for you to stand up and take your place in the body. Yes, God Almighty isn't dependent upon us, but He has chosen to work through His people. He has chosen to include us in what He is doing. You know, he could just touch these people and heal them all, just like that. But He has chosen for us to partner with Him, and the Bible says that we will lay our hands on the sick. And they will be healed. We put the word to practice. We put the word to practice. I finished with this. Are we all right? Good. We are becoming more like Jesus, correct? Yes? Do I need to go back? Behold, become, serve. Yeah? We're becoming more like Jesus. So we're beholding. Holy Spirit is transforming us. So when we look at Jesus, we are reminded of Mark 10:45, which says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That's Jesus. If Holy Spirit is forming the life of Jesus in me, then increasingly the heart of Jesus should be seen through me and through you. A heart that serves. And Pauline and I, a heart. Don't know if you can. Oh, yes, there you go. Come on, put on that music, shift, change the atmosphere. Our heart for Pneuma East, our heart. And why do I say Pneuma East? Is because this is what this is what God's entrusted to us, yeah? Okay. So our heart for this place is that this is a place where people can believe, belong, and become. Believe in Jesus through the word, through teaching, through salvation. Belong to a family, which I think we do really well. We're good at this whole family thing, but also become everything God has called them to be. And in this house, I know there's gifts, there's talents. I know that you're sitting on them. They're not eggs. They're not going to hatch. This is your invitation to take part in the body, not only here on a Sunday, but out there. Melbourne needs you. Victoria needs you. Australia needs you. The world needs the church to rise up. Become everything God has called you to be. We all have a part to play. Paul brings it all together in verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You're not becoming a part. You are. Is a part of it. Not some of you, each one of you. So if you walk out of here today and you don't remember much, just remember this. You belong. You matter. You matter to God. And because you matter to God, you matter to us. You matter to us. Now it's your role to contribute. Because the Holy Spirit has given you grace for the common good. For the common good. He has given you the grace. And that there, folks, is a Spirit-led life moving outward. We're not expecting you to go out there and evangelize the street. Start here. Build up the confidence here. This can be the training ground right here. This is a safe place. We can make mistakes here. It's okay to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes. But this can be a safe place where you can use what has been placed in you for the good of someone else. And let's see what God does through this family when we make ourselves available to Him. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.